Welcome to another Wellness Wednesday here on Q92. This morning we're going to travel over to Appleton Area Health, and we're going to visit with Dr. William Lee, a general surgeon at Appleton Area Health. And good morning, Dr. Lee.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. We got a special subject we want to talk about this morning, don't we?
Yeah, that's what you're telling me.
Okay, Colorectal Cancer Month. And hey, before we do that, Dr. Lee, why don't you just introduce yourself to our listeners. Tell us a little bit about yourself, where you grew up and your education and how long you've been in Appleton Area Health.
Sure. I'm originally from Des Moines, Iowa. I did my undergraduate at the University of South Dakota, my medical school at Iowa, and my residency out in Michigan. I've been in practice since 2000. I've been a smaller town general surgeon my whole time, working basically in, you know, southwest Minnesota, South Dakota, that type of place. And I've been at Appleton, it's probably going on 3 years.
Okay.
I think so, yeah.
And you also specialize not in just general surgeons, some other areas too, right?
Yeah, I do bariatric surgery. I've been doing weight loss surgery since 2005. And that's slowed down a bit just because of insurances and new drugs and all that stuff too. So, but yeah, we still do them occasionally.
Yeah, I think I attended one of your meetings a while back on that, and it was very informative, very interesting. Let's talk about that a little bit before we talk about our colorectal cancer month and screenings. That's pretty common now for people to try to lose some weight that way.
Surgically speaking?
Yeah, surgically speaking, yeah.
Like I said, I think the numbers have fallen off considerably probably in the last 5 years. and it's just because of there's been some insurance issues, as well as the new onset of the Ozempic-type drugs have really kind of skewed weight loss more towards medical than surgical.
Sure.
I think probably super obese, you know, people that are, you know, 400 or 500 pounds or more, surgery is still the mainstay, I would believe. And but I don't do super obese for that anyway. But but I think, you can turn on the TV and you'll see a commercial for one of them.
Yeah.
One of the meds, right?
And that's right.
So patients are opting for that now. Mm-hmm. Don't get me started on the meds, because I honestly, I think, you know, they're finding out more and more complications with it. So,
right.
You know, it'll be interesting to see how long they last.
The best advice is eat less and exercise more, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, how I approach weight loss has changed your life. And it's nothing crazy, you know. It's not like I'm saying, you know, you're only going to eat apples the rest of your life. I'm just saying, you know, you got to change a little bit. And you don't eat, you know, 2 dozen cookies. You eat just one. And you learn how to do that. And if you can change your life and learn to, you know, live with food and manage it a bit, you're going to be fine.
Okay. All right. March is Colorectal Cancer Month. Let's talk about that a little bit, how important it is to get screenings and stuff. First of all, talk a little bit about colorectal cancer.
Colorectal cancer is a very common cancer in the United States. The interesting thing about colorectal cancer is very treatable. You know, even when I came out of residency in 2000 to now, I think that the survivability of it is far greater, and I think a lot of it has to do with what we're talking about, is screening. And you know, the whole point of doing colonoscopies is to catch something early. And if you catch something early, whether you're taking it out through the colonoscopy or you have to have surgery, a lot of times, you know, even if you don't get chemotherapy, you're kind of done. You know, I mean, even if you need chemotherapy, hopefully the tumor was small enough that it's treatable and you move on with life, right? And so that's the whole point of the awareness month, is just to screen. Mm-hmm. And when you screen and you get stuff out and you catch things early, you know, it's much a benefit to the patient.
Right.
Polyps, you know, the polyps are precursors to cancer. Depending on what type of polyp, when you do take them out through a colonoscopy, and, you know, frequency of your colonoscopy based on how many polyps, what type of polyp, family history, all those things. So.
Right. Yeah, I just had a colonoscopy myself, and they found a few polyps, and just that was my question about the polyps. How different? I mean, what they can cause cancer, right? Or like you
said, when you talk, when I talk to patients, I talk about polyps in two different ways. Either they're real or they're fake. When polyps are small, you got to take them out, regardless if you know what it is or not, and then you got to send them off. And there's these things called the fake polyps, which have no ability to turn to cancer, which is great, right? And then a real polyp or a true polyp, there's usually three different kinds, and they kind of increase in angriness, right? I mean, one has a 5% chance to turn to cancer, the next one has about a 20%, the next one has about a 40%. So, and the most common type I remove is the 5% one. Mm-hmm. And so you take that out. When I take them out, I burn them a little bit, so you kind of kill them, the tissue, so it doesn't come back. And, you know, if I take a couple polyps out, you know, I'll rescope somebody in 5 years. So it's just kind of, it becomes a screening and monitoring program then.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, let's talk about the screening process. Ages, how often you should get screened. What can you tell us about that?
In a normal individual, meaning no family history of colon cancer, they now suggest starting at the age of 45. Mm-hmm. And that is because recent studies have found the biggest increase in colon cancer is less than the age of 55 years old.
Mm.
So they've decided to go from 50 to 45.
Mm.
And then based on your polyp status and things like that, after 45, depends on how often. If no family history in a normal colonoscopy, you're going to get them every 10 years. If you're taking out polyps, it depends on what kind of polyp and how many, and it can be anywhere from a year to 5 years. With somebody that's brand new, but their father had colon cancer, couple things, depends on how old dad was when he had colon cancer. If it was young, meaning 40, let's say, you're going to get a colonoscopy at 35, mm-hmm. right? Or therein.
Right.
But normally, if you know dad was 60, had colon cancer, I would start doing colonoscopies at 40, and you will get one every 5 years.
Mm, okay. All right, we're visiting with Dr. William Lee from Appleton Area Health on Wellness Wednesday this morning, talking about colorectal cancer and screening. Dr. Lee, will there ever be an easier way to prepare for a colonoscopy than have to drink a gallon of whatever?
You know, it's funny how through the years, you know, they've changed, right? There used to be a couple small bottles. There's, you know, the Gatorade stuff. There's the old-fashioned way with the half-gallon stuff. I don't think so. The whole point is to clean you out so I can see, you know. And if I can see and do an efficient colonoscopy, you know, it takes me 10 minutes, 15 minutes, and you're done.
Right.
And I wish there was an easier way, but as of right now, there's not.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, that's the hardest part of a colonoscopy, I think. Or most people would agree with that, I think.
Yeah, I think the night before is the worst.
Yep.
The day of the colonoscopy, people are like, wasn't bad.
Yep, that's right. All right. Anything else you'd like to add, Dr. Lee? Did we cover everything?
I think so.
Okay. Hey, what do you like about working at Appleton Area Health, Dr. Lee?
I enjoy working here. The people are good, and I enjoy working with the people here. It's just more old-fashioned medicine here than you get into the corporate world a little bit, then it changes a bit,
What are some of your hobbies?
My biggest hobby is that I live on a hobby farm.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I'm taking care of animals and growing things.
What kind of animals?
I have chickens, turkeys, ducks, a few cows. I'll get some pigs this summer, you know.
Nice.
Just about clean food, right?
There, clean food, that's right. Eggs, right?
Oh, yeah.
Chickens laying eggs?
Oh, yeah. Got duck eggs, too.
Oh, nice. Duck eggs. Now, I don't know if I've ever had a duck egg.
I tell you, they're a hot commodity around this hospital. I'll tell you that.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So what's the difference between a duck egg and a chicken egg then? I mean, in protein, well, the same?
No, they're bigger.
Oh, they're bigger, okay.
Yeah, and I think that since they're bigger, they have more nutrients. But some people believe that the taste is different, but my ducks and my chickens eat the same thing. So they're pretty much...
Same. Yeah,
yeah, taste the same. All that being said, too, there's an individual here that takes a lot of my duck eggs, and I have heard, my nurse was telling me that some people use duck eggs in, like, things that need to rise, like, you know, sweetbreads or waffles or pancakes.
Sure.
And because they make them puffy more.
Okay.
So I have somebody out this last weekend was going to do that, and they're going to report back to me this week and tell me how it went.
All right, that was interesting. That got a little off the subject, but that was fun.
Yeah.
All right, Dr. Lee, thanks for joining us this morning on Wellness Wednesday. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Dr. Lee, general surgeon at Appleton Area Health, and it's been another Wellness Wednesday here on Q92.